I had a wonderful gift given to me by my daughter yesterday, and that somehow she had found or gotten a photo of me as a child with my family. My two sisters here scowling because they never wanted a little brother. My dad showing me where my future hairline would be. And my mother, whose head is cut off at the top of the picture. I don't get that, but there she is. And the little brat holding the puppet down there, that's me, as you can see in a test tube that at one point in time in life, I had curly hair. It's still curly, just not as much of it. Father's Day, June 15th, 2014. And we are continuing on in our study in the book of Colossians. And the main gist, the main idea in the book of Colossians is what? Yay. Now maybe everybody all at once. Ready? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That is the hope of glory. It's not based upon who I am, where I come from, my father's hairline. It is based upon Christ. And that's my hope of glory. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 to 17, if you'd read that along with me, please. For by Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Aren't you thankful for that? Social Security does not hold all creation together. Our jobs and our bosses do not hold all creation together. Instead, it is our Lord Jesus Christ who holds all creation together. Now think about this. Our bodies are made up of 80% water, right? One molecule, H2O, two parts hydrogen to one part oxygen. If that compound is not held together, if for any reason that compound changes, we are no longer around. But God holds all things together. Those compounds, which are so important. Can you see that molecule of H2O? No, but I certainly like drinking it. I certainly like showering in it. We certainly love washing our cars and our bodies with it, right? And our pots and our pans and everything. We enjoy cooking with it. It is a molecule and a compound that we desperately need in our life. One of the interesting things that a friend of mine told me the other day, and ever since he told me, I've been thinking about that, that water, no matter what you do to it, nothing changes water. If it gets dirty, it's still water. If you put soap in it, it's still water. Nothing changes water. Coffee makes it taste better sometimes. Or you teetotalers, tea makes it taste better. But water, Christ holds it all together so that we are held together. At least 80% of us would be held together. The other 20%, what do we know, right? So, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of all, if he didn't create everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth, and maybe you are taken by and or maybe you are even schooled by thought that says, oh no, God didn't create everything, it just happened. It just exploded, it's a big bang, what? theory. Theory. Truth is God created everything. Amen? And he did it through his agent, Christ, his son. God imagined it. God spoke it. The son performed it. The spirit hovered over it and held it together. Everything in the heavenly realms and on earth, everything we can see, things we can't see, are all held together and were created through him and for him. There are only two choices. This is your first fill-in. There are only two choices to believe. Either authoritative order or complete chaos. Now, the world of science would love to have us believe in complete chaos. And there are many people, many very learned people, who have taken the odds of you and I being formed in the human shape that we are, with all of our variety of organs and different functions that each of those organs does in our body, that the percentage of that happening is so great. They said it's like taking all of the pieces of a really nice Swiss watch, putting them in a bag, smashing them with a hammer, shaking the bag and expecting the watch to be all put back together. That the odds of everything that we are, that is so wonderfully created in these human bodies, the odds of that just happening out of chaos basically would never happen. Amen? But that's what science would like to have us think today. They would rather have us think that there's chaos that was involved in creating you and creating me. Now, personally, my sisters had a plan in life. And that plan was not for a little bratty brother to come along. Obviously, because you can see how old my sisters are and how cute little thing came along and who was adorable and everybody loved. And who, according to my sisters, was spoiled beyond belief. The world has a plan. And they have a way of thinking, but it is complete chaos. I would rather believe in authoritative order. How about you? Isn't it great to know that there is somebody bigger than you in charge? I mean, it just relieves me of a whole lot of responsibility. You know, because then I can just take everything to God and go, okay, you're in charge. Do it. It's one of those things that I had to work through as far as even being a pastor. You know, I was like, well, God, we've got to have some great new program. We've got to have some new impetus. We've got to have some greater, even better music than what we're doing. We've got to, you know, what can we do to possibly grow the church together? And God said, don't worry about it. Growing the church is my job. Your job is to continue to teach the people my word. Not asking you to make up stuff. I'm just asking you to speak from my word and speak those things that will build up and encourage and strengthen the other believers that gather together Sunday after Sunday to hear my word. They're not there for you. They're there for me. I was reminded this morning as Suzanne and I were in our meditative books, our devotionals, and it says that when they were dedicating Solomon's temple, that the Spirit of the Lord just descended in this cloud that just filled the temple. And because of that infilling of God's Spirit within that temple, that there was no music. There was no preaching of the word because God's Spirit was already there. And it said that the people just knelt and prayed and worshiped and honored God for His presence being with them. Wouldn't that be awesome if I didn't have to speak another word today and the Spirit of God just fell upon this place? Can you imagine that? You see, because that's what heaven's going to be all about, folks. It's going to be the ever presence of God with you, and you with the ever presence of God. Hell is going to be the complete absence of God's presence. And I certainly don't want that in my life, and I certainly don't want that for your life. Instead, I want you to just be engulfed with the very presence and Spirit of God for all eternity. Psalm 89, verse 11 says, O Lord God of heaven's armies, the heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. Oh, Father, it seems like most of the time when we get involved, we create messes. We create problems. And yet, Lord God, you are the problem solver. You have given us a creative property, Lord God. That's why you've given us imaginations. You've given us thought. You've given us great things to think about, problems to overcome. And you, Lord God, when we bow our knee to you, you give us the answers for life. Thank you that you are Lord of all. Amen. So, if there are clearly only two choices, either authoritative order or complete chaos, the logical choice would be authoritative order. And if there's authoritative order, that means that I have to receive my orders for how I live my life, not from my thinking, because my thinking is very limited and sometimes even vain. But God's thinking is unlimited. God can think of anything. I mean, look at the variety of plants and birds and fish in the ocean. I mean, I just loved when I got the opportunity over in Maui to go scuba diving and to see all the vibrant colors of all the different fish and all the different sizes and shapes that there were. I love the fact that I can sit out and back with my coffee and toast and my wife and we can sit there relaxing and having our devotions and be entreated by all the variety of birds. The blue jays, the scrub jays, are continuing to populate and come in. We only started to have like 2, 3 maybe. Now, this morning, we had 5 of them. My wife said it was a Blue Air Force flyover for Father's Day for me. And they came in, and they're not quiet birds. They are squawkers. And, I mean, they were just complaining that the other one was getting more peanuts than the other one was and trying to keep the pigeons intimidated. I saw this one pigeon. He was, like, just sitting there in the deal, just like, what are you guys doing? And look at the variety of colors in pigeons. Not my favorite bird. They don't taste good. But they're there anyway. God has created a variety. As we can look around in this room and we can see that there is a variety of different people. Praise God that y'all don't look like me. That would be a crazy thing to have to look out on. But wouldn't you be a handsome crowd? No. We could definitely save on electricity because there'd be a beaming thing going on here. Anyway, let me get beyond that. From what we can examine about creation, your next point, we witness that there is diversity, dependence, and democracy. From what we can examine about creation, we witness diversity, dependence, and democracy. Diversity. I've already talked about it just a little bit. But honestly, don't you love some of the efforts of some people to photograph National Geographic films where they go and they see all these, you're made aware of all these different animals in the kingdom of the earth. And the variety of colors, the variety of structure, the different things that they eat, which brings us to the next point about dependence. One animal is dependent upon another animal to continue to live and grow and multiply so that they can have something in their food belly, right? We have a dependence for one another. God made us relational because God is relational. And we have a dependence that we have to have and we've got to recognize. Number one, I don't have all the gifts and all the abilities. Y'all have to share your gifts and your abilities to make this body well, to make it strong, to make it healthy. That's what Paul wrote about. Is that each and every one of us, through the diversity of who we are as people, through the diversity of giftings that the Holy Spirit has given us, that we are to use those giftings and we're to depend upon each other. In fact, that was, again, one of the devotions this morning. That if the foot finally gets perturbed with you and says, you know, I'm tired of being trod on. I'm tired of you walking all over. I'm tired of you sticking me in the dirt all the time. I'm tired of going in your mouth quite often. Get it? Put your foot in your mouth? Okay. For those of you who didn't get it, I just want to explain that. Mine is getting really tired of being between my teeth. But if the foot should say, you know, I no longer want to be a part of you, how ridiculous, right? We all need the gifts and abilities in the house of God to make it a healthy body of Christ. And we all have to use our gifts and abilities to strengthen one another. We are dependent upon each other. We are strengthened when we share about what's going on in our lives with one another. And one says, oh, you know what? I went through a similar situation. And I found strength from these scriptures in God's word. Maybe you will as well. So there's dependence in the kingdom of earth and spiritually. There is a dependence that we have to have amongst each other. There's also democracy. There's democracy. You see, God didn't make us robots. He gave us a choice. Now, it's interesting that the term democracy means that there is one acknowledged ruler over the many, and that you, as a lesser person, you have the ability to vote in a representative to speak before the one who is in authority. That's what democracy is all about. Even in God's kingdom, God has all authority. He is Lord of all. But you and I have that opportunity to vote Jesus Christ in as our personal representative. Because as the scriptures say, we are accused before God by Satan all day long. We're accused. And who is the accuser of the brethren? His name is Satan. And Satan would like to make us all think that it's plenty cold enough in this room and the temperature should probably go up a little bit. Sound booth? I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like a piece of meat right now. That Jesus Christ is my representative. And who would better represent me before someone who is trying to accuse me at all times than Jesus? Because Jesus can stand there as our lawyer, as our representative, and anything that Satan can throw at us, Jesus can say, you know what? My blood paid for that. Though that may be his weakness or her weakness, my blood paid for that sin. They are no longer guilty. We have a democracy. We have diversity. We have dependence. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Amen. Since the world was created, if you haven't done it in a while, go back and read Genesis chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 3. When it talks about in the beginning was God. And God imagined it. God spoke it through the Son. It was created. It was done. And as that work was finished, God said what? It is good. It's not just par. It's not subpar. It is good, which means it is finished. It is perfect for what it was designed to do. And though our minds might not be able to understand everything that was created, why, God, did you create mosquitoes? Right? Or what? Yeah, there you go. Because of Adam, they sinned. There you go. I mean, there are some things that you kind of look at and go, God, what were you thinking on that day? But as God's perspective was in it, he said it was all good. And every day he completed another phase of creation. And all 6 days, and on the sixth day, the finest thing that God could ever create. Cute little boy like that. He created man and woman. He created them in his own image. And he said, it is good. They are good. But I'm going to give them free choice. I'm going to let them make up their minds as to what they want to serve, whether the gods of this earth or me. We have a choice. And many people, though they can clearly see God's invisible qualities. I mean, did any of you get in awe this week of seeing that full moon again? Whew! I mean, I walked out as it was just coming up over the horizon, and it was this beautiful kind of yellowish And then as it continued to rise, and it just got brighter and brighter and wider and wider. And you know what? That moon, all that is just a reflection of the sun, the eternal power of the sun that God created. I mean, how many of us woke up this morning going, well, I wonder if the sun's going to come up today? We didn't even think about it, did we? Because God set things in order, right? Because he is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. He has authoritative order. And we are the benefactors to all that God has created. Read Genesis chapter 1 again this week. It will just thrill you as it did me. Your last point. Do you desire his eternal power as your strength? Do you desire his eternal power as your strength? You see, because it all comes down to whether or not you make Jesus Christ Lord of all or not. God has freely given you, through his democratic ways, his ability. And no, that was not a hint that we should all become Democrats. God has given us the ability democratically to make a choice as to who it is that we will serve. Do you desire, as you can see, his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature? As you can see those things, do you desire his eternal power as your strength? Or are you going to rely upon yourself and the things of this world to get you through? Because trust me, the world will try to imitate the things of God. The world will try to have you cling on and be attached to the things of this world rather than being attached to God. If any of you had the experience that Job had, that we read about in the Bible, where Job's kids are all killed instantly, all of his belongings in his livestock were raided and taken, all of his servants were put to the sword and killed, except for one. Job experienced such calamity in a short period of time. It overcame his wife's thinking, and she said, Job, let's just curse God and die together. And I love Job's answer to his wife. He says, should we accept the goodness of God and not also accept diversity? And it says right after that in all the things that Job said, he never sinned. Do you desire God's eternal power as your strength? Because Job's wife did not have God as her strength. She shrunk. And many of us, though none of us would want to have that experience, would you stand faithful to God? Or would you shrink away and say, yep, that's just the way it is. God must just really hate me. No, God doesn't hate you. And in fact, when you get through the end of Job, and he has his wonderful friends that try to tell him, you know, well, hey, Job, there must be some terrible sin within your life. Really examine yourself. Keep examining yourself. Come on. You can't be that good. There must be some miserable sin within your life that you have not given over to God. Come on. Confess it up. Get it done with so that God will take away this oppression upon you. And Job defends himself because he didn't have an advocate, Jesus Christ. And he had to defend himself before his friends and say, you know what? I have done nothing. I sacrifice for my children every day. I prayed to God all the time. And in fact, that was why Satan wanted to pick on him in the first place. He said, that Job guy, he says, there's not another man as righteous as him in all the earth. And Satan said, sure. He's been blessed by you. Why wouldn't he serve you? Let me at him. You see, Satan wants at each and every one of us. He wants to try to upset our apple cart. But if you make Jesus Lord of all, no matter what this world throws at you, you will be able to stand strong and say, by the faith of my Lord Jesus Christ, I will withstand this adversity. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. I made up these cards. Could I have a couple of guys that would just hand one out to everybody? Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. I'm sorry, let me have one, Don. My bad. Good handoff. There are times when we have to make a stand in the world. And I don't know about y'all, but there are times when I have to keep remaking that stand for Jesus Christ. That this world wants to come and try to ruin my confidence that I have in him. But as we can see through this verse, that by Christ God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth, he is truly Lord of all. And this paper is just a reminder, I don't want it, this is for you. That you made this decision today, that I voted Jesus Christ as Lord of all, and date it, put your name on it, put it someplace that's prominent so that it will be a reminder to you. And then on the back, I put a verse that might help to keep you in tune with God. Philippians 2:19, and it says, and my God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Again, going back to, he made things we can see and things we can't see. Can you see a healing coming on in your life? And yet when you've cried out to the Lord, you've cried out to him in faith, Lord God, I need a healing. Can you see that healing coming? No, but by faith, we accept that it's going to come. Amen? And then when it comes, what do? We rejoice in the Lord always. And again, we say, rejoice. Right? My God will meet, not might meet. He will meet all my needs. Not all my wants, not all my desires, but he will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? If you've made him Lord of all, date it, put your name on it, put it in a prominent place and remind yourself, loving Heavenly Father, you have given us your Lord, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Jesus Christ, as Lord of all. Father, I don't know about the rest of the people here, but I'm getting real tired of people fighting what rightly belongs to you. I didn't make me. My parents didn't make me. They took part in the process, but according to your word in Psalm 139, you knit me together in the womb. And you had plans and you had purposes for my life. And Lord God, I want to submit myself to your rule and your reign this morning, like I have never done it before. And Lord, I know that if I make that choice, that there's going to be a mighty battle. Because Satan doesn't want to lose any. He wants everyone to be miserable and go to hell with him, to get the same destruction that he's going to have. But Lord Jesus Christ, you died that sin might not rule over my body. Today I make you Lord of all. Not because someone else wants me to be that way, but I choose today to make you Lord of all my life. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agreed said,